Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And so if you don't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah and chapter number 13. The book of Jeremiah and chapter number 13. We're right now in the middle of a series of the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet to a backslidden nation. And we're in a section right now where we're seeing God use Jeremiah to use a lot of object lessons. What is an object lesson? Object lesson is a physical sign, a physical object that is used to preach or declare a message, to use as a symbol that people could relate to, something visual to put inside of their minds. And once again, we see tonight another object lesson, and we find it in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 13. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 13. And if you don't mind, notice with me in verse number 1. Jeremiah 13, in verse 1, the Word of God says this: "Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it on thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a linen girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and go, arise and go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, Arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, and took a girdle from the place wherein I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred, and was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, After this manner will I mar the pride of Judah, and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods, to serve them, and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. Therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, Do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will fill the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and all the priests and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory unto the Lord your God before he cause darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, Humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glories. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive of them all, and it shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes, and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given to thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? for thou hast taught them to be captains, as a chief over thee. Shall not sorrows take thee, as a woman in travail? And if thou say in thy heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore I will scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in a falsehood. Therefore I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and thy shame may appear. I have seen thine adulteries and thy neighings in the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills of the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Jeremiah chapter 13? The book of Jeremiah chapter 13. And notice with me in verse number 1, notice the phrase, the linen girdle. Linen girdle. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach on this sign of the linen girdle. The sign of the linen girdle. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for letting us be here this evening. Thank you for us being able to take your precious word of God, to open it up, to learn from it. And as we open it up, I ask that we learn of you, that we desire to see you, that we desire to be close to you. And that by the time this is done, that every one of us would have that desire to be so close to you and realize what it is that keeps us away from you. I'm asking that you draw us near to us, to you as we just want to be with you. I'm asking that you would fill me with your precious spirit, that you would get your own work accomplished. I dare not trust my own. I ask that you take the message, my words, my thoughts, my ambitions. You take it all. Fill me with your precious spirit. And that we trust again that your work would be done by your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. The sign of the linen girdle. Now, as we start this off, once again, God is using a physical object to do an object lesson to teach the people. In this case, it is the sign of the linen girdle. If you don't mind, the first thing I'd like to present to you in the gospel, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 13, is the physical sign. The physical sign. Notice with me in verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So God tells Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I got you a special task. Yes, sir. You want me to preach? Who do you want me to talk to? Well, in this case, I just want you to go get a linen girdle. Now, a linen girdle would be like an undergarment, something that you would wear underneath your clothes. In this case, let's just say I brought a white t-shirt here, and this, for an example's sake, that what he told Jeremiah is, I want you to wear this undergarment, and I want you to wear it all the time. In fact, notice what he said, verse number 1, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. Basically, don't wash it. I want you to wear it, and wear it, and wear it. And I don't want you to wash it. I don't want you to get it wet. I want you to wear it and wear it. Now, some of you might not bother you. Some of you might remember your teenage years where you had your favorite sweatshirt and you wore it till it got dirty in the inside. And then you flipped it over in the outside and wore it inside out for a while. This is a little bit more than that. This is an intimate undergarment that you would wear and not wash and change. Now, some of you, if this is something you're agreeing with, you probably need to go wash your clothes then. This is what Jeremiah was told to do, to take this undergarment, to wear it, and to wear it, and to wear it, and to wear it, until God told him to take it off. And don't wash it, you just wear it. Now, you can imagine how grimy and grody and nasty that would be over time. Notice with me in verse 2. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and I put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and rise, go up to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of a rock. So basically, Jeremiah, you wore it for quite a while now. And I'm sure that you're looking forward to taking it off. So what I want you to do is I want you to go across the desert to a river that's a long ways away. And I want you to go take it off, and I want you to hide it, bury it in the sand, basically, put it underneath the rock, put it in the dirt, and you bury it there until I tell you to do something else with it. So he's wore this garment all day, all night, for many, many days, not washing it, not taking it off. And after a while, God says, all right, now it's time to take it off, and I want you to go bring it over to the desert, bury it, forget about it. Now notice what God tells him. And verse number 5. So I went and hid it by Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence which I commanded thee to hide. So I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place which I hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. That has the idea of ruined. And it was profitable for nothing. So we start off with a nice undergarment, white, and something fresh, something you don't mind wearing. And after it being worn, and after it wearing for a while, he buried it, he came up with something like this. How would you like to have this now? To wear that, to put it on, to have it right next to you. In fact, you could touch it if you want. You know, just a nice garment. Nice undergarment after that, to be able to wear that. And so he pulled it and it was marred. Now, if you look at this thing, it actually has holes in it. I didn't put the holes in it. This was the same pack there. I had it buried before one of the snows and it's been in the ground for a couple months and it came out like this. I pulled out all the bugs so you don't have to worry about that. But when I pulled it out and unburied it this morning, there was bugs all over it. There was all kinds of stuff in it. Yeah, this is something you'd like to go wear right now. Something that you just kind of want to snuggle close to you at night. Something you just good comfort wear. And so Jeremiah comes back to Jerusalem with this and says, all right, guys, God has a message for you somewhere in there. And so we see the physical sign. So the physical sign is that God pulled him out. He actually had something he could go back and say, look at this. And everyone's, what in the world is this? This is a message. And so if you don't mind, this is to be a picture of how dirty our sin is to God's eyes. Which brings us not only to the physical sign, but to the powerful symbol. Now, God says he wants to be intimate and he wants to be close to us. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 11. It says, for as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so I have caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they may be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory. But they would not hear. God says, I want to be so close and so intimate to you that it's just like wearing a piece of undergarment. I want to be so close to you. I don't want to be far away where you kind of wave at and say, hi, how are you? I don't want to be so far away that you don't sense me. God says, I want to be right next to you. I want to be close to you like a garment. I want to be right there. That is the intimate relationship God desires to have with all of us. God desires to be that close to us. It was as if God had put on Jerusalem. He had put on the relationship he has with you. He wants it to be that close, that intimate. He wants to have that. However, because of our sin, this is what he has to put on. This is what our sin does. Our sin gets us dirty. And so if you were to take this and you were to rub it against your face, would it feel nice and soft? Or would it feel rough and grimy? How about if you had to put that on, would you kind of feel itchy and nasty? That is what our sin feels like to God. Sin makes us dirty. And if we're not clean, God wants to be close to us. Now, if I was to come by and get this close to you, you would probably move away. They're just a natural reaction. You don't want to touch this. I mean, you may touch it just to feel, then your hand will go back. God wants to be close to us, but he can't because your sin is uncomfortable to him. It doesn't feel good. He wants to be close to you, but your sin, your nastiness, your turning away, it keeps him from getting close to you. You understand, we have a God who desires to be close. And it is not God's fault for him being away from us. It is our nasty, dirty, filthy, rotten sin. He wants to be close, but he cannot because of our sin. Now, what is it that makes us dirty? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the Bible tells us here. Notice with me in verse number 10. Notice in verse number 10, it tells us what gets us dirty. What is it that makes us dirty? Well, notice in verse 10, this evil people, notice this, first of all, which refuse to hear my words. What gets us dirty? Well, one of the first ways that gets us dirty is just refusing to obey the Bible. Now, we all know that there's things that the Bible says. But when we refuse to obey it, when we purposely do not obey it, it makes us dirty. That's sin. Sin makes us dirty when we refuse to obey God's word. When God says, this is what I want you to do, and we come up with an excuse, we just say, we don't want to do it. Whatever thing we throw in the way, you know, you've heard the story that I've told before about a preacher who knocked on someone's door and invited him to Sunday school. And the guy said, I can't. He says, well, why not? Because I got a quart of milk in the fridge. What does that have to do with anything? The guy told the preacher, well, one excuse is as good as another. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what excuse you have for not obeying the Bible. That is sin, and it makes you dirty. It makes you filthy. It makes it so God doesn't want to be close to you. When you refuse to obey the Bible, you become nasty and dirty and grimy. And God wants to have an intimate relationship with you, but that dirtiness makes it where he cannot get close. What's another thing that makes us dirty? Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 10. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, notice this. Second of all, which walk in the imagination of their heart. If you were to put it this way, what makes us dirty? It's doing what we want to do rather than what God wants to do. You know that it's time for church and you're not working. You just say, I don't feel like going. I'd rather do something else. Well, that makes you dirty. It makes you filthy. When you get to the place where you said, I know I ought to read my Bible, but Facebook is more interesting. That makes you dirty. It makes you filthy. When you get to the place where you do what you want to do, you may not realize it, but it's making it so God cannot be intimate with you. He cannot be drawn close to you because of the dirtiness and the filthiness that you have. He wants to be close. It's God's desire. So what keeps us close to God, from being close to God? What makes us dirty? Refusing to obey the Bible. Getting in the place where we do what we want to do rather than what God wants to do. Notice in verse 3, we see something else. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their hearts, to walk after their other gods, to serve them. Notice this, to serve false gods. Now we understand that we live in a more modern world, and so we're not really expecting people to worship Ishtar or Baal or Buddha. We're not expecting people to really worship those gods to serve them. But you understand the idea of serving a god is that when it calls, you obey. That's serving another god. So some of you have your God as that little gadget that sits right in your side. And as soon as it calls, you obey. You will jump across the room to go find out, what is that message? What is that thing that sent? It calls to you, you obey. Some of you have that hobby, that as soon as that hobby calls, you obey. You serve that hobby. That it is your master. You obey when it tells you, when it calls you. Some people, it's your hobby. Some people, it's your phone. Some people, it's the internet. You just fill in the blank. I don't have to go on. You know what it is. When it calls, you obey that master. Well, if you're serving other gods, that's going to make you dirty. God doesn't want to be close to you when you're in the midst of serving another god. And we know it's a little g god, and it doesn't matter if it lives or breathes or if it's inanimate, it's still a false god. And people still serve those false gods. So we understand just in verse 10, what are some things that make us dirty? When we refuse to obey the Bible. What makes us dirty? When we do what we want to do rather than what God wants to do. What makes us dirty? When we serve other gods. And verse 10, we see a fourth thing that makes us dirty just in this passage. Notice with me in verse 10 again. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their hearts, to walk after other gods, to serve them, notice this, and to worship them, shall be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. That idea of worship carries the idea that we're putting our value into it. Basically, we're giving our time and attention to things other than God. We find that there are other things that we think is more important than God. That makes us dirty. That makes us filthy. Now, God wants to be close to us, but it is us that makes us dirty. And unfortunately, we don't take baths as often as we should, and we let that grime climb up. Until next thing you know, we are marred. That carries the idea it's ruined, it's good for nothing. And we look like this. And we say, God, I want to be close to you. Why aren't you close to me? And God says, because of this. It doesn't, not comfortable to be around you. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't smell good to be around you. It's difficult. I'm not comfortable. God wants to be intimate with us. But our sin piles up and piles up until we are dirty and nasty and filthy. This is the sign of the linen girdle. So we have a physical representation of what our sin looks like. What our sin feels like. What our sin smells like. And God doesn't want to be close to this. He wants to be close to us. Not the dirt, not the filth, not the smelliness. He wants us to be close. So someone says, what can I do about this? I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be filthy and nasty. What can I do about this? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the third thing I'd like to show you is not only the physical sign, not only the powerful symbol, but I want to show you the personal solution. The personal solution. What can we do about this? Well, notice, if you don't mind, the Bible gives a couple different things in the rest of the chapter. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 15. In verse 15, notice this. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. What is a personal solution? Well, first of all, we need to lower our pride and obey God. Lower our pride and obey God. You know, pride is an awful, nasty thing. And part of our problem is that we say, I'm not dirty. I'm not wrong. Why isn't God close to me? It's because we are refusing to acknowledge that God is right and that some of my stuff may be keeping me away from God. And I just need to agree with God that maybe some of this stuff needs to be set aside. Maybe some of this stuff needs to be put in its proper place and that God needs to be put in his proper place. Maybe I need to humble myself and say, you know what, I'm just going to obey what God tells me to do in the first place. You know, that requires us to lower our pride, to lower it down and say, I am wrong, God is right. To lower it down and say, is it I? Is there something that needs to be fixed for me? Is there some filthiness on me? To look and see, what does the Bible say? And so first, a personal solution is to lower our pride and to obey the Lord. Notice as again we see something else. Notice verse 16. Give glory to the Lord your God. Give glory to the Lord your God. That's another simple thing. To give glory to him. You know, it's a lot easier to obey God when you've been spending a lot of time telling him how great he is, how good he is, singing songs to him. You know, there's something about having your heart right with God that makes it easier to obey God. Just getting to the place where you could praise him, where you could sing a song, where you're acknowledging who he is. When's the last time you told God, just thank you for being God. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for being great. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Romans that the very first step of backsliding is unthankfulness. That is the very first step. Once we're unthankful, we're no longer appreciative of it, and we can ignore it. Can you be thankful for what you have? Godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible says. Can you be thankful for what you have? Can you acknowledge how good God has been to you? But you say, you don't understand how bad I'm hurting. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what your pains, your aches, your finances, your family. God is always good and God is always right. Can you praise his name for where you live at? Can you praise him for the heap of junk that you drive as a car? Maybe you got something better than a heap of junk. Can you be thankful for where you live? Can you be thankful for what you have? Can you be thankful for the measure of health that you have? Can you be thankful? Can you give glory to him? Can you acknowledge his goodness? If you are thankful, that helps us to want to be close to God. When we're not thankful, we don't care if we're away from God. We do whatever we want. That's a solution for stopping to do whatever we want, is if you're actually thankful. I'm thankful he gave me a Bible. I want to read it now. I'm thankful I could talk to God. I'm going to talk to God. I'm thankful I have a church home. I want to go to church. Can you be thankful? Give glory to God. Be glory to him, what he has done for you. Notice in verse 16, we also see another principle here. It says, give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turn it to a shadow of death and make it gross darkness. What we see here is obey the light that God has given to you. The Bible gives us a principle all throughout the Bible, but especially in the book of Romans chapter 1, is that light obeyed produces more light. Light disobeyed produces more darkness. So let's say that it's dark outside and you have a lit sidewalk. Maybe you have a street lamp, something that's over you. And if you take a step into the light, you get more light. Let's take another step, you get more light. Take another step, you get more light. However, if there is a lit path and you step off the path, well, the first step, you still got some light. Second step, you still got some light, but there's a little bit more darkness until you keep stepping further and further into the darkness. That light obeyed produces more light. Light disobeyed produces more darkness. Everyone has a measure of light. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not. It doesn't matter where you are. Everyone has a measure of light. What we are judged for is how well did we obey the light that God has given to us? As you obey the light, he gives us more light. That we walk in the light as he is in the light. That light obeyed produces more light. Light disobeyed produces more darkness. That as you obey to God and as you get closer to God, you get more light. As you step away from God and do your own thing and serve other gods, you get more darkness. And the more darkness you have, the more that you can tell what is right and what is wrong. Does that make sense? That if you're in a restaurant, maybe you have your favorite restaurant because it's dimly lit. You light up the place, it may not be your favorite restaurant anymore. Light reveals. Light shows us. We see things we didn't see before in the light. But as you walk in darkness, there are less things that you could see clearly. Light obeyed produces more light. Light disobeyed produces more darkness. That's what verse 16 is referring to. There's something else. So what is our personal solution? How do we get so that way God can be close to us? We know that God wants to be close to us, but it's our sin, it's our filthiness that we have stacked onto us. So what is the solution? We understand to lower our pride and just obey God. That we're to give glory to God, be thankful. That we're to obey the light that God has given to us. Notice something else in verse 17. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. Mine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Something else we have to realize as a personal solution is that our sin breaks God's heart. Our sin breaks God's heart. By the way, all sin breaks God's heart. God hates sin. You think that little white lie that you tell is cute? It is not. It's nasty and filthy, and it breaks God's heart. You think that little sin that you do just because it's not a big thing? It is a big thing. All sin breaks God's heart. God hates all sin. He hates murder. He hates little white lies. God hates your sin. He hates my sin. There is no sin that God does not hate. Now, we understand that different sins may have different consequences. We understand that. But God hates all sin. That sin of gossip, God hates that. That sin of pride, God hates that. That sin where it's just a little white lie, God hates it. He hates it. He hates it. And it breaks God's heart. You understand, this is a God who wants to be so close to us. And as he wants to get close to us, that sin that you're doing keeps him from getting closer. And it breaks his heart because he wants to be close. He wants to be with you. He wants to be next to you. But your sin keeps him further away. And that's not what God's desire. You understand, we have a great Heavenly Father who loves us so much more than we can ever know. And what he wants most out of our relationship is fellowship. He wants to spend time with us. Can you imagine an old elderly parent knows that they don't have a lot of time on earth, and they call their kids and their kids say, "Oh, if I get time, I'll go visit you," and they never do. You know how heartbreaking those stories are that we hear? What could be more heartbreaking than a God who created us, who sent a Savior to die for us because he wants to be close to us? He's done all of this and we refuse to come to him. We refuse to be close to him. And he's just saying, "I just want to be next to you. I just want to be by you." And we refuse to come. Oh, how it breaks God's heart. You understand that our God is a God with feelings. And God can be brokenhearted. You ever think about your sins in your life that has broken God's heart? We all know that our parents, sometimes the worst punishment we could get is not the spanking or the standing in the corner. It's just that disappointing look on their face where we know we failed them. Why? Because that parent loves us so much. God loves you so much. And your sin breaks his heart. When we finally realize how awful our sin is, it should keep us away from sin. You know, there's one other solution here. We understand that God wants to be intimate to us, just like a piece of undergarment. But instead, we're filthy and nasty, and our sin is piled up. We're marred, we're ruined. No one wants to be close. But there's one more thing that could be done. Notice, if you don't mind, the last verse in verse number chapter 13. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 27. God says, "I've seen thine adulteries and thy nayings, the lewdness of thy whoredoms, and thine abomination on the hills of the field. Woe unto thee, Jerusalem! Will thou not be made clean? When shall it once be?" You understand what we need? We need to be clean. Let me show you one last verse in the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, if you don't mind. And let me show you something that could be done. What can be done about our filthiness, our sin that we've stacked up? What can be done about this? Notice, if you don't mind, 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John all the way towards the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 1. And notice with me in verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess means to agree with God. So if we come to God and we agree with Him that we messed up, remember, we're not telling on ourselves. God already knows. He just wants us to get to the place where we admit that what we did was wrong. God, I messed up. I told a lie. God, I messed up. I did this. God, I messed up. You know, when we confess our sins, it says that He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Not just to forgive our sins, but to cleanse us. That word cleanse carries the idea of scrubbing clean. And it's the inside out. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's just imagine that we're getting ready for Sunday morning church. And my youngest girl, let's say that she's in a beautiful dress ready for church. And she goes outside and finds a mud puddle. And you know how kids like mud puddles. She goes out there and splashes and jumps. And she comes in and, "Hi, Mama, I'm ready for church." "No, not ready for church now." And you know what has to happen? Is that it's not just simply, "Well, I forgive you, let's go to church," pat her on the head. You know what has to be done? Cleansing. So they have to wash her. They have to give her a new dress. They have to get the mud out of her hair and wash that. She needs to be cleansed. That's what God does to us. He doesn't just pat us on the head and leave us in our filthiness. But God takes us in and He scrubs us clean. And He washes us clean. And He makes it so that way it's all gone. Because God can cleanse very well. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what the secret of being close to God with? Is taking baths often. You understand, we're not trying to teach an absence of sin. Now, we should have a desire to sin less and less. But you know what should happen? That when we do sin, we need to keep short accounts. We need to take a shower often. Take a bath often. Confess your sin. As soon as God pricks your heart, that you cleanse it. When we refer to David, David is often called the man after God's own heart. Is that because David didn't sin? No, he sinned pretty big. It's because he was a good repenter. Meaning that every time his sins were brought up, he brought it to God and asked for cleansing. He brought it to God and asked for clearing up. Even the big sins and the small sins. You know what? You want to know what the secret is of maintaining a close relationship with God? Is to be clean. To be cleansed often. That as soon as you sin, run to God. Ask for forgiveness. And you know what happens? Is that we develop a relationship that God wants. He wants to be close to us. He wants to be intimate with us. And that can only happen when we're clean. You understand? It's not God's problem. It's our problem. And so we have the thing. Do we let our sins pile up and keep God away? Or do we keep short accounts in God and allow Him to get close to us because we're clean, we're cleansed, we're forgiven? You know, 1 John 1:9 is one of the greatest verses for Christians. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So let me ask you, how many of you know that you need a shower? How many of you know that you need to be cleansed? You understand, it could be done right now. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know what needs to happen tonight? Is that we need some people to take a shower. We need some people to get clean. So that way they could be close to God. Because that's where God wants you. He wants you close. This is the sign of the linen girdle. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.